Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
Dan McDonald is still with us and Stewie Byrne back in studio after too long. Hello.
Hey, Joe.
You'd know it's summer when you're only wearing four layers, Stewie.
Yeah, it's very warm out. This is probably the best summer I've ever remembered. Would you not agree?
Best summer?
This has been the warmest summer I've ever remembered.
We've had a few stinkers. It's not been bad.
Ah, no.
The rest of the week is terrible.
Answers on a postcard or Twitter.
A couple of years ago, we had a pretty good summer. 2013, maybe.
What a grim conversation. Yeah. A couple of years ago, we had a good summer.
A good week
great
or so summer. In there.
Great summer for football.
Unbroken sunshine, I think.
Yeah. There's your line in, Joe.
We've neglected League of Ireland in recent weeks. I don't know. I guess this season, it's been difficult to get as excited by given Cork's dominance. There's a few things to discuss. The remnants of the Bray situation, I might get your thoughts on, given that we actually haven't talked about it as a trio, but there's other things to discuss. So you both were struck by Stephen Bradley's war of words, good old fashioned war of words with John Caulfield. This was over a tackle. Alan Bennett received a straight red card, and this has been a bone of contention on Monday evening. This is a bone of contention between.
Yeah, but I need to give you a bit of background as well. Just the across the season, there's been a little bit of sniping between Shamrock Rovers and Cork, which goes back to before their first game of the season in Tala, where Bradley said the Cork were a one-man team. You stop Maguire, you stop Cork. Then Rovers probably should have got something from that game and didn't. Cork scraped that one. And I think Bradley said afterwards that, well, you know, Rovers had battered them. So that didn't go down well with Cork, who then hammered them in the return game, at which point a load of the players went on Twitter saying, "We battered them," in sort of a doing a Stephen Bradley impression in social media form.
Okay.
And there's been a bit of a niggle in the games as well. And then Bradley, before that, gave an interview where he felt that Cork 2017, the 2017 version, hadn't hit the heights of Dundalk of the previous 3 years, which did not go down
they
well either.
They weren't like that at all.
Which did not go down well either. So fast forward to last Monday, where you have an EA Sports Cup game, you know, pretty low profile competition, but because of the fact that Cork, the league is over, the Cups are becoming really important this year, more so than any other year.
They're even keeping you in a job, Dan.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, full strength teams being played at the weekend by sides who might have rested them, and like Dundalk in particular, you know, really going full tilt for it. And again, EA Cup, Rovers win, but Alan Bennett gets sent off, very experienced player. The referee gave a sending off because of what he deemed to be a stamp. John Caulfield said that the Shamrock Rovers player Dave Webster should man up and admit, I guess, that almost that he was alleging theatrics of some kind. Now, Webster would say
Caulfield
he is,
comment.
Yeah.
Actually, it's comical because Dave Webster runs past him, puts out his hand and falls on the ground. Maybe ask Dave that, because he was clever and he was cute and he conned it. It's disappointing.
Now, Webster was showing people stud marks afterwards, suggesting that he felt he had been stamped. But this has sort of led to, a tit-for-tat between the two. But I guess from Bradley's position, the fact that they won the game, they're in a slightly stronger position this time around. They knock Cork out. That's the end of the treble for Cork, which would have been a real ambition for them too, with the fact that the league is pretty much in the bag.
Bradley, only ever have a go when you've won the game.
Fair enough. Bradley, his
response.
That's
the lesson, is it?
Yeah. It's as you have.
Like winning a title, maybe? Or?
If you're feeling angry. If you're angry and you've won the game. It's absolutely scandalous, said Stephen Bradley, how John Caulfield can say our player should apologise to Alan Bennett. Clear as anything, Alan pushes him to the ground, first of all. Then goes and stamps on his chest. Dave Webster has three stud marks to show it as well. For John to suggest he was lying and wants our player to apologise is unbelievable. The stamp is so obvious, it's frightening, was Bradley's response.
Thank God for Stephen Bradley and John Caulfield. Otherwise, we'd have nothing to talk about.
This seems much ado about nothing. Two managers defending their players.
I tell you, for Bradley, it's a big step forward for Stephen. I played with Stephen at Drogheda.
Yeah.
And Stephen was a total footballer, you know, and very much avoided controversy, avoided the physical side of it. He was quite a quiet lad, super footballer. You know, obviously coming from the background that he came from, his time at Arsenal, and a super footballer, so never really had to kind of get involved in the physical side of things. But this, you know, obviously the pressure of the job at Rovers, this has been the making of him. You know, he's kind of come out of his shell, and he's right to come out of his shell. He's got to defend his players, he's got to defend his clubs. His club is constantly under the spotlight, you know, because of the huge tradition that Rovers have, for historical reasons. So he obviously feels that I can kind of see what he's trying to do. He's trying to kind of push the club forward, push the players forward. And, you know, I think players respond to that as well. When they see their manager fighting for them, they'll fight for him.
Did you ever look at your managers when you were a player getting involved in these scraps and think, oh, don't be getting involved? Or generally, did you like to see it?
I like to see it.
Yeah, I figured you might somehow.
Yeah, you know, well, it's part of the game, Joe.
Did the dressing room generally think?
There's nothing worse than listening to managers come into post match commentary and talk absolute tripe.
Yeah,
you know, the stuff that they're learning on the coaching courses, like, it's just nonsense.
So, as a dressing room, you generally, all of you collectively, you like to see your guy out there giving it to the others.
Absolutely, there's no 100%. There's no doubt about it that players like to see that because, like I just say. If you've got a manager you know will fight for you and defend you, then you'll pay that back in return. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, and Bradley has been, like, he's made for some very good copy this year. And I guess it is always this ultimate irony that, you know, sometimes, say, in the media, you go through his comments and say, should he have said that? Should he have said that? When actually you're crying out for characters.
He has made mistakes then. But at least he's put himself out there, which is good.
He has. I mean, before the start of the season, he was very dismissive of Cork's chances in the league this year. Very much said, we can catch Cork, but we maybe can't catch Dundalk. And all his words are coming back to haunt him at various times. Even before they played Bowes recently, he spoke about it being a cup final for Bowes, and then Bowes go and beat them. But really, it's good. Why complain about it? I feel completely po-faced, being really sort of, this is a serious issue.
Graham is texting. Sorry, I was smiling while you were talking there. Which
I noticed that. Slightly alarming, Joe, to be honest.
I'm just sort of
you love when Joe just tunes out and starts grinning maniacally at something that's on the screen in front of him.
That there on the screen.
Graham's been in touch. Lads, the League of Ireland chats have a good old dynamic. You've got Joe, who sounds cynical about the whole League of Ireland, which I refute.
You do.
I sound realistic
about
the whole
League of Ireland. Have you gone to your game yet this year, Joe? It's coming soon.
Realistic about the whole League of Ireland. Anyway, you've got Joe, who sounds cynical about the whole League of Ireland. You've got Dan, the stat man. And in the other chair...
Oh no.
Providing the Burger Van Romance, it's Stewie Byrne Esquire. Love it, says Graham. The Burger Van Romance. That's nice,
that.
Isn't it?
I have to think about that one.
Yeah.
What's that even mean?
I don't know. I like it though. I kind of know what he means. Lads, we've been blessed with a rake of good summers. What are you moaning about? Says Billy. Yeah. It's not Abu Dhabi you're living in.
No.
No. Thank God for that.
So, there'd be more money in the League of Ireland if there was, though, to be fair.
That is true. So Dundalk then are one in very good form and seem to be coming back to themselves a little bit. They beat Derry 4-0, and also Stephen Kenny has signed a new contract. I was curious to see what Kenny would do, because he's obviously made a mark in Europe. He's lost so many of his top players, and that must be demoralising in many ways. And I thought, you know, does he look at Scotland and think, I wouldn't mind going back there and showing a few people a thing or two? But he has signed a contract extension. He'll be at the club until 2020, Dan.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, in an ideal world, you say, and I take your point, does he want to go to Scotland or England? And he is ambitious, and I've no doubt he would like to do something like that. But, you know, I think having had one bad experience there before, he's probably got one more chance to get it right. So you need to wait for the right club to come along, as opposed to, I don't know, leaving the job that you're in and taking a punt. Mm-hmm. I think he'd go in with his eyes open anywhere he went, because the last time he probably went to a club that there wasn't a great welcoming environment there, and I think that probably snookered him a bit. So,
in what sense can you
elaborate? Well, I mean, I think you could probably speak to Stephen about it, but he went into a he went into a situation where put it this way, he was at the club for not that long, and he was eventually replaced by one of his players who was in the staff, who I would suggest there wouldn't have been a great attitude to these Irish guys coming over. I think Scotland is very insular. Now, to be honest, the League of Ireland can be that way sometimes too.
I think Scotland is very insular.
The Scottish football scene is unbelievably insular.
Scotland is very insular.
Not as a country. I've had plenty of lovely trips to Scotland.
This is outrageous.
But the Scottish football scene, and I think the League of Ireland can be that way as well, cliquey in its own way. And there was very much a sense of, and I think there was a bit of that when Pat Fennell went over there as well.
Yeah.
You know, well, we've got our own guys here. And
it's a lack of respect for the League of Ireland as well, and maybe they're entitled to think that about
well, to a point. But
sorry, I'm saying I understand it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're right. Yeah. I don't want to live up to what Graham has texted.
You'd be up for a bit of insularity, you know, on a given day, Joe.
I just think it's human nature, and I would say I would say there's no respect for the League of Ireland over in the UK, really. Certainly when Stephen Kenny was going over. Maybe the, you know, what the likes of...
Well, the irony was, before he went over, he'd actually been part of the Derry team that had pumped Gretna, a Scottish team, around, I think, 5-1 in the European Cup the year before. And there was dismissive comments beforehand, and Kenny built respect. But I think it's more so, I just felt, I don't know, the club itself, when the manager goes and you feel like he's been replaced by someone who's possibly, you know,
it's
been there the whole time.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, there's an element to that. That's a pretty good parallel, I would say. But he's not just going to just walk at the first opportunity. And I think the significance about signing the deal is the club, Dundalk, have said to him, we'll give you what you want, which is, I think, to build a bit more of a sustainable club there. I heard sort of chat that maybe he could have 52-week contracts, he could have change in training to be a bit more full-time. I think that's all up in the air, but it's very possible.
Good.
And clearly he's heard things that have made him want to commit. So that's what I would take from that news.
Yeah, it's also rare to see a 3-year managerial contract in the League of Ireland, Stewie.
It is, I'm delighted to see it, and I think what I read into it is, I've kind of been writing about it for quite a while now, is that Stephen obviously has gotten sort of certain guarantees that things are going on in the background. I have heard other things that things are kind of happening in the background, and that's all you want as a
manager.
What's
happening?
I think there's a lot going on with regards to the ground and the training ground and the possible...
What are you hearing?
I cannot imagine to say live. Well, live on air, Joe.
Yeah, well, there are.
You mean there are a lot of
good things,
lot,
obviously.
Like, absolutely good things. Like, you know,
I don't think it's a state secret. I don't think it's a state secret.
They've inherited
the
a huge sort of centre there that they're actually put their plans to put in new dressing rooms, sports science, video analysis stuff. Maybe have the players eating and doing stuff. You know, just things that you go to any club in the UK and it's there. But it's
and will
not
they be
really
allowed to do that, or is that a North Korea type area as well?
No. They've got control of it. They've been through the sort of the North Korean phase, and they've got out of that.
They're beyond all that, Joe.
They've got way beyond that.
It's really sustainable because it's in a town.
I know it's a joke, Joe. You know, I'm sorry for not smiling at it as you would at a text.
Stewie answered it seriously there.
It's in a town where, you know, it is sustainable. You know, they're a one team town.
Yeah, sure.
And it's they're at an advantage, a unique advantage in Ireland, I would say, whereby the other sports aren't, you know, Dundalk don't tend to dominate in other sports. I mean, football is primary.
Town.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And why not take advantage of that?
No, absolutely. And they beat Derry 4-0. Are they looking back to a side which, if the league was to start tomorrow, would have competed with Cork?
They've been back to their best for a while, Joe. Even when you look back at the Champions League stuff, I thought they played really well. Quite unlucky to go out.
So it's just a pity for the league and for the neutrals that they took a while to get going.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's always going to be the case. Like, you know, I would, to be honest, I think they should be looking over their shoulder as well, because Derry are, in league wise, are starting to hit a bit of form as well.
Derry are 7 points. Yeah, Derry are 7 points behind Dundalk, and Cork are 17 points clear of Dundalk with a game in hand. Cork have a game in hand. How are Cork continuing life without Sean Maguire?
Okay, struggling with the goals somewhat. I think two of the last five games they've failed to score. They've been beaten, albeit one was a league game against Bowes at home, and the other was against Rovers in the League Cup. But yeah, they don't. I think the cup game against Bray may have refocused John Caulfield's mind a little bit, because from what I understand, I think he's been speaking to a possible replacement for a couple of months now, but they haven't had to sign anybody because they're so far ahead. However, if they realistically want to go and do the double and win the cup, I think he is definitely going to have to get somebody in quick now. I think he's going to have to make a decision, possibly being a little bit too in particular about who he wants to bring in. So I think he needs to focus now on bringing in that successor sooner rather than later.
Yeah,
I mean, it is interesting that there is a sense that Cork and Dundalk in some ways are ready. There's an element of looking to next year, you know, that they're, because with Cork losing Maguire and Dundalk hitting in form, it will be interesting to see if we started now, has there been a bit of a levelling off? It's not just Maguire's goals, it's Maguire's all-round play as well. It's absolutely essential to how they played, and they've got Akil Campion there as a sort of a more physical French guy they have there. Sam Adlier, who scored the other day, he's not a striker. He's a very creative midfielder. They have a young lad, Conor Ellis. They've been trying. They don't have a like for like. They don't have anything near a like for like, and that is going to impact on the players around them, because Maguire had this great harmony with Dooley and with Carl Shepherd, and it just worked.
Yeah.
And now that he's gone, They haven't been as inspiring. There's probably going to be a natural hangover anyway from Europe, and there's this weird sense of anticlimax that they're going to win the league, and that's something that Cork haven't done very often. It'll only be the third time. Sure. But they're almost, it's just expected now. There's no sense of exhilaration
around it.
And they're sort of just, they know it'll be done soon. It's just a matter of when.
Sean Maguire, interestingly, over in Preston, they're surprised at just how good he is outside the box. And what a good all-round player he's been, and how he can link up the play. So that's been a pleasant surprise for them over there. John Caulfield was talking about a cosy cartel of managers. It's not just Stephen Bradley he's got a beef with. There's a cosy cartel between a couple of managers who like slagging me off or the club off. We'd be a lot better off if we promoted the league. Slagging me off or the club off, that's grand. It's water off a duck's back.
Yeah, that goes back a while, that quote. I'm kind of unclear who's in the cosy cartel of managers.
No one, Dan. It's complete seed mentality. And do you know what? He's dead right. I have to commend him for it. I think it's great. You have to do that. And Cork have always done that.
Because he's implying here that a bunch of managers are getting together saying, let's have a dig off Caulfield.
Yeah, he's done it really well this year, John. He really, really has. You know, I don't think he had much to say last year, but he's played that role really well. He's created that siege mentality for his players, and it's worked. Sure, look, they've been outstanding.
Yeah,
they're way ahead of the rest. the biggest job he has in his hands is kind of trying to get them over the line now, because it's been inevitable for so long. I mean, hopefully he'll possibly try and keep it back for. Yeah. A month from today.
They played
Dundalk at home on the 15th of September.
It's strange, like in this era of like managerial instability in most leagues, that like if Kenny stays for the duration of his contract, I mean, Caulfield's going nowhere as well. Mm. They've both been there, what, 4 or 5 seasons consecutively. It's rare.
It's good for the league as well.
Very good.
There's a degree of sort of security that comes with that, stability that comes with that, that we haven't had with league winners maybe in previous years, where things have been a bit jumpy and they go up and down and people go. It's a bit different now. Yeah. You know, this Cork Dundalk thing is still going.
Yeah. Not to put you too much in the spot, but the Bray situation obviously unfolded over the last number of weeks. There was that absolutely stupendously wonderful press release. I remember tweeting at the time that, you know, you won't be laughing when Bray win the World Cup, because this, you know, this club have ambition. But since then, they have applied for rezoning of the Carlisle grounds.
Well, yeah, this is a complicated one. I suppose they are trying to... Like, there was a leaked letter that they sent to the council where they've stated their plans.
Yeah.
And I guess we're trying to ascertain, you know, where these plans are going to go. Unfortunately, like, I'd take the sceptical role in this one here. I feel that, okay, they've got the money together to get to the end of the season, but generally, once a club start having problems, and in fact, Bray have had problems plenty of times over the last couple of years, I don't see how they're going to emerge from them and suddenly create this master plan on a par with St George's Park in England that's going to make them into a superpower. I'd be very fearful about what would happen still come the winter time, because they had a job to do to get money together for the rest of the season, and they're not going to be up in the top three the way things are going. So where is this massive, like, there was a very small crowd, I think, at their cup game at the weekend. Where are people going to come from to make them any kind of force, to give them any kind of leverage to do what they want to do? I don't see it ending especially well.
Okay, we'll come back to that at some point. Scotland is insular, lads. I used to live in Aberdeen. I once saw an archived edition of the local newspaper. The headline read, "Aberdeen Man Lost at Sea." It was reporting on the Titanic. Which is almost certainly not true. Okay, we'll leave it there. Stewie, lovely to see you again. Let's not leave it so long the next time.
Please go to Scotland, people. We're not fun. You know.
Stewie Byrne is, well, I'd say we'll come back to League of Ireland next week as the season heats up. And we've got the football show next, where we've got a few things to talk about, not least the Liverpool game. Kenny Cunningham's watching what is currently 56 minutes on the clock. Hoffenheim 0, Liverpool 1.
Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.